Let me direct your attention for just a few minutes to the second chapter of the Revelation letter. In verse 10 of chapter 2, Jesus, through the Apostle John, said in the latter part of that verse, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." He didn't say be faithful until death, but unto death. And the idea is be faithful even unto martyrdom. If you're going to die for being a Christian, or you're being threatened of death, then don't recant. Don't renounce Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Be faithful. Now, to this church at Smyrna, he shows that persecution came in several ways. And I like what one author said. I was reading back several years ago and preparing some articles on the seven churches of Asia for a paper. And he said, among other things, that it was a difficult task to be a Christian in Smyrna. They couldn't leave. They couldn't escape. They just had to take whatever was dished out to them. And no, I've thought about that statement time and again through the years. And it's a fact, brethren, that in some localities, it's much more difficult to be a Christian than others. Now, generally speaking, I think it's easy to be a Christian in Beaver Creek, Ohio. Oh, we have problems, we got temptations. But there are other parts of this world that it's very hard to be a faithful child of God. Now, he says, I want you to be faithful until death. But let's look at some of these other persecutions first. He says, I know your works. And he said, I know your tribulation. And this word tribulation is an interesting word. It comes from the Greek word which means pressure. And I'm told in ancient days that they would pressure confessions out of prisoners by putting huge rocks on their chest, on their body, until they were willing to say what they wanted them to say. Now, metaphorically speaking, we're under pressures as Christians all around us, time after time. There are pressures. And the Lord says, I want you to be faithful in these pressures. You got pressures on the job. There's some jobs that are harder than others. Easy to lose your temper. Say some words that you shouldn't say. And then some of you have pressures at home trying to live the Christian life. And you have pressures at school being a child of God. But Jesus said, I want you to be faithful in tribulation. And then they were impoverished. He says, I know your poverty. And then I like this statement right after that, in parenthesis, but thou art rich. We've heard this old statement, poor as Job's turkey, Leonard. That's how poor they were. Now, I've been poor, brethren, but I've never been this poor. They were two words in the original language, I'm told, for poverty. And one of the words was just the very necessities of life. The other was totally destitute. Not anything whatsoever. Now, I've never been that poor. Even during the post-depression days down in eastern Kentucky, why, we had something to eat. I didn't always like what I had to eat. I've gone to bed night after night, not satisfied, but just as full as could be. And if you've eaten mush and milk, Bud over here knows what I'm talking about. Claude, if you've eaten mush and milk, you know it's not very satisfying. It's filling. But my, I'd like to have some, well, pork chop, tenderloin, ribs, fried potatoes, Somebody says, hush, preacher. But we couldn't afford some of those things. We didn't always have them. But I had the necessities. Now, this word here means totally destitute, without anything, as a beggar. And so Jesus said, be faithful even in your poverty. You know, they couldn't buy or sell. That was one of the things as we read it here in the Revelation letter. Because they wouldn't give their allegiance to Caesar. They didn't have the mark of the beast. Their allegiance was to Jesus Christ. But Caesar said, if you give allegiance to me, everything will be well. You'll be protected. And all they were required to do is to go to the center of Caesar worship. And this was over at Pergamus, I understand, and take a pinch of incense and burn it or offer it unto Caesar and say, Lord God Caesar. And then they'd go back and do anything they wanted to religiously. But the Christians, God was Jehovah. His Lord was Jesus Christ. And the only one he could give allegiance to was Christ and not to Caesar. And that cost them dearly. And I wonder, ladies and gentlemen, if our jobs were terminated. And we had no resources. We had no money. We couldn't buy. We couldn't sell. Would we be faithful to Jesus Christ if it just meant a compromise a little bit and the food would start coming our way? Be tempting, wouldn't it? Be tempting. I might rationalize and find some way that I could give in order to get food on the table and clothes on my back and on my family. But that hasn't always been the case in times gone by. And our Lord said, be faithful in poverty. And then here was the blasphemy of the Jews, who said that we're actually Abraham's seed and we have special favor with God. But Jesus said, I know those who say, them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And tongues were wagging at Smyrna. And I don't know what all they were accusing the Christians of being. But I want to tell you, brethren, in the midst of ridicule and malignment and misrepresentation and people lying about us, we've got to be faithful unto God and not be intimidated. We've got to stand up when men revile us, as Jesus did. When they say all kinds of unkind things about us. And in the first century church, Barclay tells us that among the Romans in particular, that they were accused of having sex orgies when they came together like we are this morning for the Lord's Supper. That they were charged with being atheists because they didn't believe in the pagan gods. And on the charges were made. Evil accusations. But Jesus said, be faithful even in blasphemy. Then they were going to be imprisoned. And some of them would be cast into prison. And to be put in prison then was actually a death warrant. You think of the cold, dark, bleak dungeons in which Christians were placed. Many times pneumonia would ensue. They never were released. When they were taken out, they were corpses. They were dead. It's not like our prisons, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have a cell that's heated and lighted and TVs and books to read. You know, I didn't have the opportunities to have some kind of an occupation or something, a school where they could even become a professional in prison. It wasn't like a hotel or a motel as so many of them are like today. But to be in prison then was, for all practical purposes, death. Death. But be faithful. If your conviction, if your stand for truth, or if your allegiance to me
means that you're going to be put in prison, then I want you to be faithful. And that's not easy. That's not easy. And then he says finally, he said, I want you to be faithful even unto death or to martyrdom. Antipas was one who became a martyr for the cause of Christ. We see Stephen as the first martyr in the seventh chapter of Acts. And here was James, the apostle, who was martyred or put to death by Herod. And many Christians, ladies and gentlemen, in the Roman Empire were slain, were killed because of their profession. Now, I don't know what kind of faith I might have. I've never been tried like this. And I don't know whether I could stand or not if I had to give up so much that I enjoyed and my well-being was endangered and my life was threatened. I don't know what I could do. And that's why that we need to have a strong faith, a trust in the Lord, and put our complete confidence in Him. And come what may, we stand. We persevere. We endure. Well, that's my little sermon then. Went better than I thought. We're going to sing an invitation song. You're in the audience, not a Christian. You come and give God your heart. I know it's cold, extremely cold outside, but it's warm in here, the baptistry is heated, everything is ready, you change your garments, and it's so convenient. And we shouldn't have to have it convenient in order to obey God, but it's convenient today. Obey the Lord Jesus Christ and become a Christian. Will you come and put on the Lord by being baptized in His name? Read His blood, appropriate the precious blood of Jesus Christ. All sins are remitted, canceled. You become liberated and delivered from sin. If you're an erring child of God, you need to be restored to your first love. If you sever that relationship into something that's public and known, you need to publicly confess it. We'll pray together and God will forgive. Will you come this morning, right now?